Be'ezah Hashem, we are now going to begin Parshas Matos Masei. It's a double parsha this week. The Hebrew date is Chav Gimel Tammuz Tov Shinayin Zayin, corresponding with the English calendar, July 17th, 2017. We're picking one point of this parsha, and we'll elaborate on it, and you will notice something very, very interesting about how we are supposed to approach serving Hashem, doing mitzvahs on a daily basis, and how important it is to appreciate the mitzvahs that Hashem have commanded us. We're going to start on the bottom of page 902 in the Arat Scroll Chumash. It's Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. Begin with Yidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar. Okay, do you have it?
Yeah.
Vayidab Hashem Moshe Lema, Hashem has spoken to Moshe saying, Nekom Nikmas B'nei Yisrael, take revenge for the Jewish people. Me'eis HaMidyonim, from the Midianites. Acha Te'osef El Amecha, and afterwards you will be gathered unto your people. It's interesting to know that Moshe Rabbeinu was told this is his last command from Hashem, and that this was going to be his final mission, to take revenge from the Midianites, who have happened to be instrumental in causing a terrible, terrible plague to befall the Jewish people. If you remember in the story of Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen, he's a zealot. He went ahead and stopped a terrible megepha, a terrible plague, which was caused actually by Bilhem HaRasha, where Bilhem HaRasha inspired the Midianites and the Moabites to go let loose their daughters and to incite the lust in the Jewish people, together with not just immorality but with Avodah Zarah. That was the idolatry of the Baal Peor, the Avodah Zarah of Peor, and together the two kind of averis, the combination of these two averis together was lethal to the Jewish people. It's like putting a match into a can of kerosene and there's an explosion. That is the idea that Bilhem had exposed to them, and worked. The Jewish people actually became very vulnerable as a result, because they were attracted to these Midianite girls. They bowed down to their Avodah Zarah, and Hashem's wrath was at a peak, and 24,000 Jewish people died at the time, until Pinchas had stopped the plague by killing the Nasi of Shevet Shimon, that Zimi ben Solu, and together with the accomplice, the daughter of Tzur, Kazvi Bas Tzur, who was the princess of Tzur, and the plague stopped. But because the Midianites have been so involved in causing the Jewish people to be killed, Hashem gave a special mitzvah to Moshe to go ahead and take revenge. Revenge is a form of mishpat, a form of judgment, and we can't make small change out of that. Normally, revenge is something we are always discouraged. A Jew is never to take revenge from a Jew. But we are commanded to take revenge from a goy, from the Gentiles, who have caused us to sin and ultimately caused us to be killed in a terrible, terrible plague. So we're now beginning where Hashem has commanded Moshe to take revenge. And we're right now on the top of page 904 on Parshas Matos. And now Moshe takes the lead. And Moshe goes and tells to the Jewish people to go ahead and arm yourselves and go and we're going to form an army against the Midianites. There should be 1,000 per shevet. Naturally, 1,000 in those days was really a small number when you're dealing tens of thousands against them. But he says, no, it has to be only 1,000. Let's just read on a few psukim over here. Pasuk Dalet, we'll go on top over there. You follow? Elaf Lamata, 1,000 per per tribe, 1,000 per tribe, l'chol matos Yisrael, for all of the tribes of the Jewish people, tishluchu latzav, they should be sent to all. Vayimotsu me'alfei Yisrael elef lamata, and as the Torah tells us, they gave over the 1,000 soldiers to each tribe as Moshe commanded, and they were now assembled Shnei Mosael of 12,000 troops, Chalutzei Tzava, those which are ready to go into war. Vayishlach Osam Moshe Elef Lamata Latzava Osam Ve'es Pinchas Ben Alasa HaKohen Latzava, and together with the 1,000 per Shevet, he also sent Pinchas, the son of Alasa HaKohen, to the army, Uchalei HaKodesh, and the vessels of holiness, Ve'chatzotzos HaTrua, and also the chatzotzos, the trumpets, to the blast, in to make the blasting sounds, put also in his hand. Now, something very strange is taking place right now. One who goes into war should have been the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol is supposed to lead the nation into war against the enemy. And here, the one who led the war was Pinchas, the son of Elazar. Aaron HaKohen passed away, Elazar took over the Kohuna Gedola, and his son Pinchas all of a sudden is leading the war. And this was Alpi Hashem. Why was that so? It sounds very strange. The one who should have led the war should have been the Kohen Gadol. If you don't mind, let's look at Rashi. Rashi explains this question that I'm raising. If you look at Rashi Pasuk Vav, Rashi, it says in the second line of Rashi, do you have Pasuk Vav?
Yeah.
The second line of Rashi over there in the Rashi of Vav says, "Umipnei ma halach Pinchas? For what reason did Pinchas go? V'lo halach Elazar, and Elazar did not go to war and lead the war. Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu." The Almighty said, "Misha hiskel b'mitzvah, shaharek kozvi basur. Whoever started the mitzvah, who killed kozvi, the daughter of tzur, yigma, he should complete the mitzvah. He started the mitzvah, and he should complete the mitzvah." This is an important, very, very important thing. Whoever starts the mitzvah completes the mitzvah. Hashem is giving special instruction that when you do a mitzvah, you start a mitzvah, you should complete the mitzvah.
Okay.
We know this is a very important rule, and we all know that if a person completes the mitzvah, he's being given credit for the mitzvah. We know, for example, Moshe Rabbeinu had worked with the bones or protected the bones and carried the bones of Yosef for 40 years. He's the one who got Yosef's bones out of Mitzrayim, fulfilling the oath that Yosef made the Jewish people promise that when you leave Egypt, I make you swear to take my body out and bury me in Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu spent 40 years dealing with the bones of Yosef. But at the end, he was not given credit for it. Do you know why? Because he passed away before he entered the land. Who was given credit? Those who buried Yosef's bones in Shechem. In the city of Shechem, that portion that Yaakov gave him. He was not given credit. Whoever does a mitzvah is commanded to complete the mitzvah. And that is a very, very important rule. We want you to know that every mitzvah has two parts to it. Every mitzvah has the beginning, and then there's an end to the mitzvah. the Yetzirah, or we'll use the word Satan, that evil force that exists around us, will try to stop you from doing the mitzvah from its inception. He will stop you to do any mitzvah you are intending to do. But should he fail in stopping you from doing a mitzvah, he doesn't rest quietly. He will now attempt to sabotage the end of the mitzvah. Because the end of the mitzvah, if you can complete the mitzvah, then that is where the major credit is given for a mitzvah. And that's when the mitzvah can perform its greatest credit for the neshama. Where if a person has done a complete mitzvah, he's rewarded for everlasting reward in the world to come. A complete mitzvah is a gold mine. So the Satan will do whatever he can to stop you start a mitzvah. But if he fails to cause you to stop the mitzvah, he'll do whatever he can in order to sabotage that mitzvah. And nobody, but I say nobody, is free from that that plot that the Satan is out to stop, because this is his goal in life, to stop you from completing mitzvahs. And this is something we have to always bear in mind. If you do a beginning of the mitzvah, it's meritorious, but don't think that's where it stops. The major reward for a mitzvah is when you can complete the mitzvah. Now, don't think for one moment that the greater the person, the less vulnerable he is. That is not true. The greater the person, the more vulnerable he is. Who is greater than you can imagine than Avraham Avinu? Our patriarch. Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu had been given the greatest test a human being could possibly be given. The test of the Akedah. The test of trying to sacrifice, being told to sacrifice his son Yitzchak. Great, the greatest test man could have possibly given. I would like you to go back, and I want to read you something that will boggle the mind. In line of what I just told you about whoever starts a mitzvah, right, should attempt as much as possible to complete the mitzvah, because that is where the Satan is aiming his efforts, because that's where the major reward is, and that's where the major benefit is from doing the mitzvah. Let's go to the story of Avram being tested by the Akedah. We're going to go back to Parsha Vayera, Perek Chavez, Pasuk Yud Gimel. And if I may show you in the art scroll, let's see if I can find it quickly. It would be, let's see, should be Perek Chav Beis, would be, let's see, here we go. Perek Chav Beis, page 102. Okay, let's start in the middle of this terrific, unbelievable test. Avraham Avinu this completely ignores the Yetzirah, the Satan who tries to sabotage him and doesn't let him do the Akedah. Remember the story that he forms himself into a river, and he walked into the river up to his neck, and he shouted out because he knew that this river was not real. And all of a sudden, Hashem removed the river as he screamed, "Bo'amaya manafish, this is not going to stop me." And the river disappeared. He built a mizbeach. He's on top of the mountain, and he's now holding the knife under the neck of his son Yitzchak. Let's go now to Pasuk Yud, if you don't mind, in the middle of the page. Vayishlach Avram es yadoi, and he sends forth his hand, vayikach es hamachelas, and he took the knife, the machelas, the chalif, lishchot es benai, to slaughter his son. And it's about him, at the Medrash says he made a bracha, lishchot es benai, I'm going to make a bracha, al hashchita, I'm going to shech my son. As difficult as this was, and he knew this was so difficult because Hashem promised him he's going to have children as many as the stars of the heaven. And here is an old man of 137 years old. And here, we're going to have another child. And this child is going to be slaughtered by him. God commanded him. He didn't ask questions. God told him to do it. And he's holding the knife underneath the neck, and all he had to do was make a swift movement one way and back the other and slaughter his son on the spot. All of a sudden, Vayikra El Malach Hashem Min HaShemayim, and Pasuk Yud Aleph, and a Malach from heaven calls out from Shemayim, Vayomer, Avraham, Avraham. A double announcement, not once, but twice. Avraham, Avraham, it's a sign of love when God calls your name twice. Vayomer Hineini, he's just about ready to slaughter. Behold, here I am. Oh, what do you want me to do, Hashem? I'm here, I'm doing it, what you want. Vayomer, and Hashem tells him to the Malach, Al tishlach yodach al hanar, do not stretch forth your hand to that child. Val ta'as lo ma'uma, and do not do anything. And the Medrash explained that he was pleading with the Malach, let me give him a drop of blood, I made a bracha. It's going to be a bracha levatala. He says, don't do a thing, not even a drop of blood. Kiyato yadati, look at the words that continue. Because now I know, ki yirei Elokim ata, you are a God-fearing person. V'lo chasachte es bincha, and you did not keep back your son. Es yechizcha, your only one from me, mimeni. So now he's stuck. He made a bracha. Hashem commands him not to slaughter. Hashem is acknowledging the fact that he is the victor. He won the test. He says, I now know you are a God-fearing person. V'lo chasacht, and you didn't hold back your son. I'm going to sign to that. I certify, I stand behind that comment. I know it.
You're becoming a man.
And guess what happens? So what am I going to do? How am I going to fulfill the korban? Look at the next pasuk. Vayisa Avram, and Avram lifts up his eyes. Vayar, and he sees Vihine, Ayel, a ram, acha, afterwards. Nechaz basvach, that is caught in the bushes. Bikarna, by its antlers, by its horns. Vayelach Avram, and Avram goes, Vayikach es ha'ayel, and he takes the ayel, Vayaleu li'ola tachas beno, and he offers the ram in place of his son. I ask you a question. This is an unbelievable scenario. Do you know how old that ayel was? That ayel was over 2,000 years old. That ayel was created Misheshesh Mebereshes, from the beginning of time. That ayel was from the 10 miracles for those who learn Pirkei Avos, that there are 10 great things that happen at twilight before Shabbos started. At the beginning, right when the sun set, right before Shabbos, there were 10 miracles. One of the miracles is the Eilishel Yitzchak, the ram of Yitzchak. That isle has been roaming around since creation. That means the isle has lived through the flood. That isle was in Noach's teva. That ayel is roaming around over 2,000 years. That had only one job. The only job that it had was to run to the feet of Avraham, and in his old ayel language, ram language, bow his head and say to Avraham, Hineni, I'm here to fulfill my creation, my reason for being created. And guess what happens? He botches it up. He gets caught in the thicket. He gets caught in the bushes. After 2,000 years, he couldn't do it right. His only job in creation was to run before Avraham Avinu and get him to take him and slaughter him. In the meantime, it got stuck in the bushes, and Avraham had to untangle it, and finally, because he already made a bracha, he couldn't interrupt, and then finally get it on the Mizbeach and then shecht it. Could you understand what's going on over here? What happened? So Rashi answered the question. Please, look at Rashi. Rashi, in the Pasuk Yud Gimel, Rashi says, Do you have the Rashi? It's going to be not that part. One second. The Rashi in the bold that begins with the word Bekarnav. You have no in the Rashi of Pasik Yud Gimel. You have to look at Yud Gimel the Rashi. You have it there? Here. The word Bekarnav. It's in bold. Bekarnav. Do you have it there, Anthony? Bekarnav. You have to look in the bottom of 102. Okay. 102. 102. The bottom of 102.
Five up.
You have over here the word Bekarnav.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you see it there? Okay. Look at what Rashi says. And now you see I have come full circle in what I told you about the story of Pinchas. The question is, why in the world did this aisle get stuck in the bushes? That's all it had to do. Says Rashi, Shoyavatz Esel Avraham, it ran to Avraham, the Hasatan. But that Satan, that evil Malach, Saivchai Umar Arvavai, made it surround, go in circles, and confused it and mixed it up be'ilanos in the trees kidei la'akfo in order to prevent it. Do you realize what's going on over here? The greatest test of mankind was just taking place. Hashem, so to say, signs his name to this test. I know that you are Yirei Elokim. I certify, I testify. I tell you that this is Yirei Elokim. There is no one like him.
Okay, here's homework.
He is a winner. Does the Satan give up? Satan does not give up. Because he started the mitzvah, right? How did he start the mitzvah? By taking his son, putting him on the altar, and just about getting ready to slaughter him, he just started the mitzvah. The completion of the mitzvah is the slaughter of the ayal. The ram that was created 2,000 years ago. It didn't take much. He really passed 3/4 of the test. Better. 9/10 of the test. That's all he had to do. But the Satan wanted to sabotage the last minute to take away the polishing effect of a perfect mitzvah.
He could have found another.
He wanted, this is not what was intended. The Satan took that idol that was created for that purpose. And he wanted to sabotage that mitzvah, because when you complete a mitzvah, the reward is endless. And the protection one gets from a mitzvah is beyond our imagination. The Satan does not stop till the last moment we live. This is, we have to learn that. The Satan does not give up. So therefore, full circle, we're going back to Parashas Matos, where Pinchas was asked by none other than Hashem himself. He is to go complete the job he started. He killed Kozvi Basur. And now that he killed Kozvi Basur, he started the mitzvah. Now continue to finish the mitzvah by going against the Midianite girls and the nation Midian and kill them out, because this is the mitzvah that you have to complete. Pinchas is the only one that could have done that, and therefore Pinchas was chosen. What do we walk away with for this parasha? We walk away of this parasha that when we do a mitzvah, let's be anxious to finish it. Let's not be lazy and say, oh, I'll get it done the rest of it another time. When we do a mitzvah, we should try to finish the mitzvah. You can give several examples. You want to go ahead and do a mitzvah, help somebody, or you pick somebody up on the road, and you want to drive them to his house. It's a cold day. You drop them off down the block. Finish the mitzvah. Drive them to his house. Another 30 seconds.
We should be as relentless as a son.
Exactly. You got it straight. We have to understand that the Sutton doesn't give up. Because he knows, you have to know that when he sees us complete a mitzvah, he knows he's a loser. He's a loser. And he won't let us do it. And therefore, any mitzvah we do, let's say you do a mitzvah, you're going to give tzedakah to a mashiach who comes by your door. Get the complete mitzvah. Welcome him with a smile. Give him a handshake. Ask him, how are you? How could I help you? Make him feel like a mensch. Make him feel like a mensch. Whether it's in shul, I was in New York. I didn't have American money. I had just Canadian stuff. I wasn't going to give the tzedakah to a mashiach. What's he going to do with this? Throw in the garbage?
It doesn't work.
So, but what did you think I did? I smiled. I said, sorry. I just don't have it. Did he walk away insulted? No. I just smiled. I can't. I just can't. That's all. There's so many ways of completing the mitzvah right. You eat a meal. Bench. Finish it. Use a bencher to help you finish it properly. You make a bracha. You can make a bracha in a whisper, or you can make a bracha loud enough for someone to answer, amen. You've completed the mitzvah. A bracha you make is like a powerhouse. Amen is like creating a malach. Do you realize that? The word amen. The word amen, aleph mem nun, numerically adds up to 91. The word malach, mem is 40, lamed is 30, right? Aleph is 1 and the Chaf is 20. That's 91. The word Malach is 91 and the word Amen is 91. How much effort does it take to say the same bracha, for heaven's sakes? A drop ladder for your friend to answer Amen. And you completed the mitzvah. I don't know a Jew that can't use a good Malach. Let me know who he is. Complete the mitzvah. How about it? You go to shul, davin, you get the urge to talk to a friend. Not a word. Complete the mitzvah of davening without sabotaging the mitzvah. The Satan doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to blabble away. I can go on and on and on how we could complete mitzvahs if you put your mind to it. And that's the lesson for today. I didn't make it up. Hashem did. He told Pinchas to be the one to go ahead and lead the army, even though he was the wrong person to do it. It should have been the Kohen Gadol. But Hashem said, "Kol ha'maschil b'mitzvah, oymim lo gemar." Whoever starts the mitzvah, we tell him complete. I would like to finish with a short story. There was once a person who was on his deathbed. He was just about a moment before he passed away. The Chevah Kedisha is around his bed, and somebody approaches him and asks him, "Do you still have a Yetzer Hara? Do you still have an evil inclination at this point in your life? where you know you're leaving the world. You have one foot in heaven. He says, yes, I do. So you look at him, what's your Yetzirah? My Yetzirah is that I'm going to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and I'm going to try to say it really loud so that people around me should think I'm pious. I'm a tzaddik. And that's what my Yetzirah is telling me to do. I still have a Yetzirah. We don't stop till the last moment we breathe. So no one should think that it's over until it's really over. I thought of a pshat in the siddur. We say in Hashkivenu every night. We say in our davening, and I'm going to tell you my own novel pshat, a pshat that I thought of. It doesn't mean this is the real meaning, but I'll tell you what I think. You can apply it to our conversation today. With this, I close. We say in Myra the following words in Hashkivenu. We say it. We're going to say it tonight. It says, "V'haser Satan, remove the Satan, milfaneinu u'me'acharenu. Remove the Satan. Remove that evil Satan." From before us, u'me'achareinu, and after us. So I want to apply it to what I just said tonight. Before us, before we try to do a mitzvah, there's a satan that wants to sabotage even the very, very beginning. Don't do the mitzvah. It's too hard. You don't have the strength. Don't get up for davening. You need another half hour of sleep. It's too cold outside. Oh, come on. The air conditioner is not going to work. Whatever the excuse is, it doesn't matter. Mufaneinu. And then it's umeyachareinu. And from behind you. After you've done the beginning, then he wants to sabotage the end of the mitzvah. And we dive into Hashem and to take away the satan mufaneinu and me'acharenu, and from behind us, because even after we started the mitzvah, he's behind us, he's ready to be sure you don't forget, they don't finish the mitzvah. That's what I want to tell you, what it says every night. You know why? Because when you finish a mitzvah, it's dynamite. That's atomic energy for your neshama. He doesn't want you to finish the mitzvah. If he can't stop you at the beginning, he'll sabotage the end. And don't forget, if you can finish the mitzvah, then you are a winner. You are a real winner. So let's walk away tonight making up that whatever mitzvahs we do, let's make an attempt to try to do it right and to finish what we start, because it'll always go with a challenge. But if you do it, you'll be blessed with everlasting reward and, of course, with the benefit of living a more sacred and happier life in this world. Have a wonderful week.